Well, sir, it's early evening as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Vic and young Russell. The former lounges in his easy chair beneath the floor ramp and listens without enthusiasm as the latter reads aloud from a volume of vigorous fiction.
"That was a delicious kiss," crowed the handsome young officer, carefully wiping his mouth with his sleeve. "I will require another directly." "You shan't have any more kisses until Tuesday," coyly replied Lady Margaret, as she playfully tapped the mother-of-pearl button on her fashionable French spat with the handle of her dainty pink parasol. Third Lieutenant Clinton Stanley broke into a loud guffaw. "Either you give me another kiss or I'll wrench your arm," he laughed. The beautiful woman, aware he spoke in jest, giggled a tinkling little giggle for all the world like the jingle of tiny Chinese bells. Soft baby cloudlets hovered in the clear blue sky, and old Mr. Sun beamed down brightly.
Thunder, you said you were going to read something exciting.
Well, down here in the next paragraph, a great boa constrictor, 12 feet long, appears on the scene and bites Third Lieutenant Clinton Stanley in the leg. And old Mr. Sun beamed down brightly on the curly heads of the young lovers. Third Lieutenant Clinton Stanley smiled, revealing his huge square teeth, the color of rich old ivory. "No, but that was a delicious kiss," he exulted gleefully. "Whose little cupcake are you?"
"Oh, for Pete's sake."
"Oh, the boa constrictor appears in the next sentence." "Whose little cupcake are you?" "I'm your little cupcake," whispered the beautiful woman, and from her embroidered handbag she drew a guitar, on which she played a wistful song.
"Gonna have company."
At this moment, an enormous boa constrictor, 12 feet in length, sidled into view.
"Uncle Flesh is outside."
His cruel eyes lit up with enormous venomous fury as he saw the handsome young officer and the beautiful woman. With one vicious lunge of his sinuous body,
"I die, old Joe."
"We're going to have company in a minute. Uncle Fletcher's outside."
Fine.
With one vicious lunge of his sinuous body,
"I want to talk a minute, Willie. You haven't seen Uncle Fletcher, have you, since this Butler House Hotel business?" "Well, he's just full of it, of course."
"I imagine."
"It's the biggest thing that's happened to him in 20 years. He feels important as a horse, and I guess you can't blame him."
"All he's going to do is occupy Hank Gustav's hotel room 2 weeks. Is that important?"
"Sure. It's important to Uncle Fletcher, anyway."
"Hey, you darn boa constrictor, you," roared Third Lieutenant Clinton Stanley. "You bit me in the leg." Lady Margaret sank to the ground in a swoon. The handsome young officer...
"I still want to talk. I'm afraid he'll provoke you into teasing him."
"Uncle Fletcher?"
"Yes. See, this business has changed him completely. He just more than struts around and brags and boasts. I'm afraid you'll be tempted to dig at him and upset him."
"Nah."
"I hope you don't."
"You act like I browbeat and antagonize Uncle Fletcher."
"No, but you jolly him to where he gets irritated."
"Well, if he can't take a little innocent ribbon, then he ought to go..."
"No, but yes, you appreciate what I mean."
The handsome young officer whipped out his automatic pistol. "Fap, fap," spurted the handsome silver-plated firearm. And the boy...
"Oh,
Leo.
By George, a person...
I just thought I'd tell you the way Uncle Fletcher's feeling, so you'd know."
"How is he feeling?"
"Important. Biggity. Acts like the King of Peoria." "It is a little trying."
"Well, where is he now?"
"Out in the alley by the garbage box, talking with Mr. Donahue." "Yes, I'm occupying rooms at the Butler House Hotel beginning next Monday. Drop in. I'm generally at home in the evening and be only too happy."
"Here we are."
"Huh?"
"Our friend's here. I just heard the kitchen door slam."
"Oh.
Hello."
"Hi."
"In the living room, Arlene?"
"No, on the roof."
"Evening, Vic."
"Evening, old pal."
"I wouldn't even make little jokes, Vic. He'll get upset and irritated extra easy with this mood he's in."
"Oh, yeah."
"No, but that's right."
"Everybody on deck, Arlene?"
"Yes, sir."
"Hello, Uncle Fletcher."
"Russell, too, by George. How are you, Russell?"
"Just fine, thanks."
"Take Uncle Fletcher's cap in the hallway and hang it up, Russell."
"Oh, sure."
"Just toss it on the second hook from the bottom of the hall tree. Any old place, Russell, honey."
"Okay."
"I'd give you a copper, only I left my pouch at home on the sideboard."
"Oh, that's all right."
"What did little Tad say when the grown-ups give him a copper?"
"Well, thanks."
"They say thanks, yes."
"Well, nobody give me any copper, though."
"He's a good boy."
"Sometimes."
"Well, Vic, honey, how's everything with you?"
"Pretty fair."
"Spent the day down at the office transacting business, I presume?"
"Uh-huh."
That's the way she goes.
"I'll say, boy."
"Trade pretty brisk in the kitchenware game, are they?"
"Yeah."
"Considerable buying and selling, I expect."
"Lots of it."
"Likely you had your hired girl there typewrite you out a batch of letters directed to various cities."
"That's right."
"Looks like it's going to rain."
"I hope it does. Cool things off."
"Is trade as brisk this year in the kitchenware game, Harley, as it was last year?"
but the same.
I see. I suppose all this man talk's pretty much Greek to you, Sadie, honey.
Oh, I managed to make out part of what you're saying.
A couple of men get together and chat about business, and the women can't make head or tail to it. We'll discuss matters you can understand, Sadie, honey.
All right.
Bluetooth Johnson was telling the guy that he
I'm pretty much up to my neck in trash myself, Vic. They really got me on the run.
So Sadie's telling me.
Haven't hardly got a minute I can call my own.
I understand your landlady, Miss Keller.
My landlady, Miss Keller, is just part of it. Just part of it.
Is she going to get married?
That romance is sleeping, Vic, honey, for the time being. But I look for startling developments within the next 2 weeks.
Oh?
Startling developments.
I don't suppose you could give us any hint concerning...
So, trade is brisk in the kitchenware game this season, are they?
Yeah.
Considerable buying and selling going on. Sadie, honey, if all this deep man talk puzzles and bewilders you and Russell, go on down in the basement or someplace.
I think I'll stay here, thanks.
Bluetooth Johnson was telling the guys...
Your poor head's whirling, eh, Russell? Look at him, Vic. He's so addled trying to make out what we're talking about, you know where he's at.
Oh, yeah.
You're all right, Russell. Don't let anybody tell you different.
Yeah.
Rumors may have reached your ears concerning some of my activities, Vic.
Yes. Say, they're telling me you plan on occupying Hank Gutstop's room.
Ladies love to reveal information.
Well, I didn't reveal any information that was secret, did I?
Oh, it's comical how ladies love to reveal information.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Vic, honey, the rumors that have reached your ears regarding me occupying rooms at the Butler House Hotel are essentially correct.
Oh.
I move in next Monday morning, very first thing. You may see my name written in the book. You stop past and ask the clerk to produce the ledger.
I must do that.
I am to occupy, as you may or may not know, the rooms of Hank Bitstop. The bridal suit.
Yes.
Casual passers-by and innocent bystanders refer to it as the bridal suit, but the ones in on the know refer to it as number 1A mezzanine.
Number 1A mezzanine, huh?
Or just mezzanine. I don't imagine you were privy to that information, were they?
What's funny?
I don't know.
Bluetooth Johnson made the ball...
I want you people to visit me at the Butler House after I get settled. All of you. Russell, honey, you're welcome, same as Pop and Mama. Just step up to the desk there in the lobby, ask the clerk to produce the ledger, look up the name of Fletcher Rush, and I'll be right down. Or better still, you folks come up. Fletcher Rush, number 1A mezzanine. Or, if you find that difficult to remember, just say bridal suit.
Okay.
We chaps in the hotel game prefer to say number 1A mezzanine. Or just mezzanine. Write that down on a scrap of paper, Vic. Write down Fletcher Rush.
I think I can remember your name, Uncle Fletcher.
Go on, write that down. Write down Fletcher Rush.
All right.
No, I'm in trash clean up to my neck. I haven't hardly got a minute I can call my own. It's a case of rush, rush, rush. Russell, fetch me my cap.
Sure. You're not going.
Got to go. Vic, I'm mighty glad we had our little business talk.
It is highly enjoyable.
It gratifies me that trade is brisk in the kitchenware game.
Gratifies me, too.
I am pleased to learn there's considerable buying and selling going on.
Oh, boy, hot dog.
Sadie, honey, I wish to apologize for talking business with Vic here and speaking in a language you couldn't understand.
Not at all.
A couple of men, you know, they get absorbed in deep matters and forget there's ladies present.
Sure.
I guess it's not going to rain after all. Here's your cap, Uncle Fletcher.
I'd give you a copper, Russell, honey, only I left my pouch home on the sideboard.
Thanks.
Well, Vic, say to Russell, I've got to run.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to go to the Interurban Station. Then I've got to go to the Royal Throne 25-cent barbershop. And then I've got to go to the Butler House Hotel. I haven't got a half-wit minute. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Vic, honey.
Goodbye.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.